At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on this first day of November. Right. You know what that means? What does that mean? It's November 1st. What does that mean? Well, if October 1st, somebody had to wake up Green Day, then today means we can welcome back Wyclef Jean. Right? Because he was gone until November. But now he's back. And also, it means we can recap Halloween. Let me know how it went at your house. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But some news I want to get you caught up on. I know Phil addressed it, but we can get a little bit deeper into it here. One thing I want to point out. Of course, we had the story of the humpback whale that washed ashore, got stranded, and died in Westport. We are still waiting for IFAW to get back with us. Back to us with information. And if we get a follow-up on that today, we will post that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I did get some unconfirmed reports from people that were apparently down there that it looked like this whale had been struck by a ship. But we'll wait for IFAW to give us the official results of the necropsy that was performed. But the stat that we have in there in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app says that about 40% of the necropsies that they've done during this, what do they call it? What's the term? I don't have the story open in front of me, but there's been a particularly high amount of humpback whale deaths. And they said about 40% of the ones they've examined, it comes from ship strikes. And I was talking with somebody about it and I said, you know, how much of this is recreational boaters versus, say, commercial fishermen? And they said it's almost always recreational boaters, because the commercial fishermen, the whales have learned like where the fishermen go. And so they know that there isn't, you know, space and food for them. So they avoid those areas. And it's the recreational boaters who don't know the signs of where a whale might be present, or, you know, the basic waters where they remain, and they end up striking the whales. And inadvertently, of course, nobody intends to hit a whale. But they end up hitting the whale, and then the whale dies as a result of its injuries. So they said about 40% of the ones that they've examined, which was only about half of the whales that have died. So they don't always get to perform a necropsy on them. But the ones that they had... So you could look at that and say, you know, about a quarter of the whale deaths, the 226, probably 227 now, whale deaths, humpback whale deaths since 2016 have been due to ship strikes. And they do offer tips for boaters, such as, you know, this time of year when the whales are going to start to come in inland a little bit more, that they have speed restrictions in place and things like that. And then also yesterday, I was listening to Chris's show for a bit between meetings, and I heard a caller call in and suggest that the new pedestrian bridge that they're building over Route 18 in New Bedford for the Whale's Tooth parking lot, that should be named for a local veteran, that they would like to see it named for a local veteran. And just a few hours later, we got the press release. You know, I think that was either coincidental or maybe a caller setting up the news that was forthcoming. But we got the press release that said that it will be named for a veteran. In fact, it's going to be named for a veteran, the veteran, that the current pedestrian bridge is named for. Andre Lopes, who died as a result of his injuries sustained in the Korean War on May 22nd, 1956, just 6 days after his 30th birthday. So the previous bridge that's there now, the one that will be taken down, that was dedicated to Lopes in 1977. And so now the new bridge will be named in his honor as well. It'll be the Andre Lopes Korean War Veteran Overpass, because it is in close proximity to the Veterans Transitions House. They are announcing this ahead of Veterans Day on November 11th. Lopes was a corporal in the infantry. Again, he died just 6 days after his 30th birthday. And so now that bridge will bear his name. So that's, I don't know if that was just coincidental timing or if that caller had a heads up on that in some way, maybe, because the legislature had been working on this. But I guess, you know, we hadn't really heard much about it, so Chris was unaware. But it's good that now, even though they're taking down the old bridge that was named in his honor, they can transfer that to the new bridge. And then another story that I found very interesting. This is a story that I was familiar with, but I didn't realize this new kind of twist to it. But if you've ever been to the Valley Inn in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, which is a great restaurant, they have really good pizza there. Actually, everything I've had at the Valley Inn is great, but they also have a reputation for being haunted. And my friend Amy Bruni, who you know from Ghost Hunters and Kindred Spirits, and who has a new series dropping soon. In fact, she was supposed to release the trailer yesterday. I haven't seen it yet. But that's just because I had to go to bowling and haven't had a chance to sit down and look at it yet. But she has a new series coming out. But Amy Bruni is a frequent visitor of the Valley Inn. She loves it. She doesn't live far from there, and she loves it. And it's been featured on her show, Kindred Spirits, as well. And that story is very interesting, the ghost story around it. Because Thomas Cornell Jr. and his family were living in that in the home that was on that property back in 1673 when Thomas Cornell's mother, Rebecca Briggs Cornell, died in an apparent fire that was contained to just her bedroom. And the family contended that she must have fallen asleep with her pipe lit, and then the chair she was in caught on fire, the bed caught on fire, I forget which she was sleeping in, but caught on fire and she burned. But then, what's interesting, yeah, she was found at the foot of the bed, horribly burned. And Cornell was the last person to have seen his mother alive. Apparently, they'd gotten into some kind of an argument, and she'd gone up to her room and then died. That she had the pipe in her hand, fell asleep, and died in the fire. But then a few days after her funeral, Thomas Cornell's uncle came forward and said that Rebecca had come to him in a dream and showed him the burns in her body and said, "See how I was burned?" And it made it sound as if someone had did that to her. And that was enough to get the case reopened. They dug up her body. An autopsy was performed. And a stab wound was found in her stomach. They arrested Thomas Cornell Jr. And he was actually convicted. He was found guilty and convicted based on what they called back in those days spectral evidence. There was a time when the word of a ghost could get you convicted in Massachusetts colonial court. And if that sounds weird to you, if that sounds unbelievable to you, Like 20 years later, they did the same thing in the Salem witch trials. They used spectral evidence to convict some of the people who claimed to be witches. And then eventually, spectral evidence became, you know, something that was no longer permitted in courts. But that's how they convicted Thomas Cornell Jr., based on the uncle having a dream in which a ghost told him what happened to her. And then they found a stab wound on her body, and some people said that could have been from anything. There was no way to tell how long it had been there. But the speculation was that Thomas Cornell stabbed his mother and then set the body on fire to make it look like it was a fire. And I guess the idea was that they were trying to get the estate from her. And there was all kinds of things like that. So now the house is no longer there. They've built the Valley Inn over that. But an interesting side note to that is Thomas Cornell is buried on the property. Now, the back end of what was the property is now a neighborhood. And in that neighborhood in the woods is the family cemetery. And my friend Amanda and I have gone down there. It's all overgrown. We had plans to try to get in there and clear it out, but we're having trouble getting the right permissions to get in there and do it. But the story is that he wanted to be buried in that cemetery, but they wouldn't let him. And so instead, he is buried under the parking lot of the Valley Inn. And they will actually take you out there and they will show you that spot. So if you go to the Valley Inn, have a nice meal. Look for Joe. Joe is the owner. And say to Joe, hey, I heard Tim Weisberg talking about this on WBSM, and he was telling us about the ghost, and he said that Thomas Cornell is buried under the parking lot. Can you show us a spot? Joe, if he's not too busy, we'll take you out there, and he will show. Joe loves talking about the ghosts there. Great guy. And the other part of the story now, the reason why it's in the news is because Clifton Humphrey, who is a descendant of Thomas Cornell Jr., is now working to try to get his relative's name cleared. He's working to get the governor of Rhode Island to exonerate him, to pardon him for this crime for which Clifton feels he was wrongly convicted, or at least convicted based on shoddy evidence. 20 years later, 1693, they banned spectral evidence in Massachusetts. So he's working to get his descendant's name cleared. I don't think anybody's going to put up too much of a fight on that. But it's just an interesting modern twist on a longtime Rhode Island ghost story. That's one of my favorite stories. And also the Cornell family, related to Lizzie Borden as well. So it ties in. It all ties in. You can't go too far in Massachusetts without throwing a rock and hitting somebody that somehow has a connection to the Lizzie Borden story. She's our own version of Kevin Bacon. But what you do hear a lot from people is, oh, I'm related to Lizzie Borden. Oh, okay. Everybody claims that. Whenever I talk about the Lizzie Borden case, people will come up to me and be like, oh yeah, I'm related to Lizzie Borden. Okay, sure. And it's funny because people will tell me things like, oh yeah, she was my great-great-great-grandmother. No, she wasn't. She didn't have any children. I'm a direct descendant of Lizzie Borden. No, you're not. I don't think you understand what the term direct descendant means. But that's one thing about New England is we have a lot of people that probably should never do Ancestry.com. Because if they do, all the stories that their families have been telling them for generations are going to fall apart. We were related to George Washington. Well, according to your Ancestry family tree here, there's no connection to George Washington at all. So some of those longtime family stories would get debunked. And then I think people would get upset. 508-996-0500. app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We also have the other ghost stories that we shared, the local ghost stories that we shared on our Facebook page over the last couple of days, including yesterday, the one about the house next to White's. Lots of people were messaging me saying, you know, that they had experiences at that house. They walked by that house. They saw things in that house. And hey, listen, I'm not saying that you didn't. I'm just telling you in that story some of the explanations as to why these legends developed around it. And it might be that you really did see something. It might be, again, you know, because I have a different perspective on what ghosts could be than other people. I don't think that they're necessarily dead people's souls. I think sometimes ghosts are a phenomenon that we create with our own minds. And if that's the case, if everybody thinks that house is haunted, well, then when you look in the window, you might see things that actually do move. And I'm not saying that you're imagining things. I'm saying that things are moving, but not because there's a ghost in there moving them, but because people are subconsciously moving them. Yes, I think that that is an actual thing. I think we can manipulate the environment with our minds. And that could explain a lot of this quote-unquote ghostly activity that we encounter. And I make the same joke in all my presentations. I think that's way cooler to think that I can, you know, make the remote fly into my hand from across the room than to think that my dead grandmother sees me while I'm in the shower. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails. We'll be right back. Nobody ever accused Jim Steinman of getting right to the point in any song that he ever wrote.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back.
Every Jim Steinman song is a big epic. That is Meatloaf, I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. Written, of course, by the great Jim Steinman. 508-996-0500. We're going to be going into the news in just a moment, but we can take more of your calls on the other side. And a reminder that this weekend, not only are you going to be turning back the clocks on Sunday, but the Patriots. I'm sorry, I've got winning teams. Okay, fine. I'm not going to pick on the Patriots. The Patriots have a chance to, even though we'll be falling back, they could spring forward and get their second win in a row, when they head to Tennessee to take on the Titans. The Titans are 1-6 and are going through plenty of struggles of their own. So the Patriots have a real shot here at stringing two wins together. Maybe that extra hour of sleep will help them do that. Patriots-Titans kickoff is at 1 p.m. with pregame on WBSM beginning at 10 a.m. You can catch all the Patriots action right here on WBSM all season long. And if you want to hear our regular programming, you can do that on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Four days to go until Election Day. Russia fining Google a lot of money. And it's almost time to turn back those clocks.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The K candidates hit the Southwest on Thursday, hitting two key swing states. Former President Trump spoke at a rally in Solid Blue, New Mexico.
If we could bring God down from heaven, he could be the vote counter. We would win this. We'd win California. We'd win a lot of states.
He also held events in Arizona and Nevada, with Trump officials claiming there's momentum in the entire region. Vice President Harris, meanwhile, brought star power with musical group Los Tigres del Norte joining her in Phoenix, and Jennifer Lopez in Las Vegas. The Avengers are assembling again, this time to endorse Harris for president.
I think Kamala Harris needs a catchphrase.
Ooh, yes, definitely a catchphrase.
How about this? I'm just off the top of my head. I can do this all day. Shut up.
On Thursday, multiple actors from the Marvel films joined a group video call to support Harris, including Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, and more. Along with brainstorming catchphrases for Harris, they urged people to get out and vote, saying issues such as women's reproductive rights, public education, health care, and Social Security are all on the line this election. Trump is suing CBS News for $10 billion over a 60 Minutes interview with Vice President Harris. Trump's legal team filed a lawsuit on Thursday, claiming the network edited the footage to cast Harris in a positive light. Russia is fining Google for more money than the world's entire gross domestic product. Tammy Trujillo has the details.
Sky News says a Russian judge made that decision this week after Google removed state-run and pro-government accounts from YouTube. Google was fined an undecillion rubles, which is a one followed by 36 zeros, or a trillion times a trillion times a trillion. The court said Google cannot return to the Russian market until after the fine is paid. Google has a current stock market value of about $2.1 trillion. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
On Sunday, we set the clocks back 1 hour and return to standard time. Bree Tennis with your personal investment into the time change.
It doesn't matter when we change time. It's always a win-lose. This time, we fall back an hour and gain an hour of sleep. That's a win. But we lose an hour of daylight, as the sun will set about 4:54 Sunday afternoon. And you'll also lose about 20 minutes setting the clocks that don't auto-adjust, your oven, your microwave, your coffee pot. And while you're setting clocks, take a peek at your car, because they don't always automatically switch time, and you don't want to freak out driving into work Monday.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins lost to the Carolina Hurricanes 8-2 on Thursday. They're in Philly to play the Flyers on Saturday. Celtics in Charlotte to play the Hornets tonight at 7. Patriots in Tennessee with the Titans on Sunday afternoon. And you can hear that game right here on WBSM. And the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers arrived back in California aboard a New England Patriots jet after their initial flight was delayed 4 hours. Championship parade this morning out west. It's the Dodgers' 8th World Championship.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A cool front swings through today to start your weekend, clearing to sunshine and temperatures still warm, topping out in the 70s. Breezy as well, with occasional gusts greater than 25 miles per hour. Weekend looks sunny and dry, but much colder. Lows dropping into the 30s, highs rebounding into the 50s. Clouds rolling in for the start of next week, with another chance of rain Monday night into Tuesday. And again, those clocks go back an hour on Sunday. Daylight saving time ends at 2 a.m. on November 3rd. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with a WBSM app.
Yo, back up now and give a brother room. The fuse is lit and I'm about to go boom. Mercy, mercy, mercy me. Oh, my life was a cage, but on stage I'm free. Hyped up, psyched up, ready for wildin'. Standing in a crowd of girls like an island. I see the one I wanna sit, come here cutie. I flip her around and then I work that booty. Work the body, work, work the body. Slow down girl, you're about to hurt somebody. Hold up yo, let's get just one thing clear. There's only one reason why I came here. Your women don't want me to jibber and jibber to tell you what's up. Your women don't want me to jibber and jibber to tell you what's up. Your women don't want me to jibber and jibber to tell you what's up. I came here tonight to hear the crowd go.
Ready for me yet?
Pull me up.
Well, yo, are y'all ready for me yet?
There's a song you probably forgot about. That's Boom Shake the Room by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince when they try to be a little bit more hard-edged with their music, with the Code Red album. But they went from being the goofy clown princes of hip-hop to trying to put out something with a little bit more edge. And I always liked that song, but it faded away too fast. Anything that can sample Funky Worm by the Ohio Players is a pretty good track, in my opinion. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. If you want to chime in and get involved in the conversation, we've been talking about a number of different things, but coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, as long as he's very busy today. And so I'm hoping he has a few moments to be able to give us a call right after the 8 o'clock news. But we're hoping to talk with Jordan Chabot, the co-owner of Sixes and Sevens in New Bedford, also, though, the owner of the Speedwell Tavern in Plymouth, which is unfortunately where that horrible tragedy happened a week ago today, in which Brent Berkley was shot and killed in an apparent road rage incident gone wrong. And there's an outpouring from the Plymouth community to support the family that Brent Berkley left behind, including a number of restaurants and bars in Plymouth today that are and throughout this week that have been donating proceeds to his family, to his girlfriend Jesse and the children that they had together, and also, you know, to kind of help the community heal from this great tragedy. And so hopefully Jordan will have a few moments to give us a call. But again, you know, he's preparing for what is going to be probably the busiest day they've ever had at the Speedwell Tavern. And it's not just there. It's a number of other places that have jumped on board with this effort. But Jesse works there at the Speedwell. She's been there for a number of years. And Brent Berkley was definitely part of that family. So hopefully, if you have some time and you're so inclined, you can head on out there today and show some support. And if not, there's other ways you can donate as well. They have a GoFundMe set up for the family. And you can always just send a donation to the Speedwell Tavern and they'll make sure it gets to the family as well. So I saw an interesting story this morning that some of you might find interesting. And that is that the state's Cannabis Control Commission voted on Wednesday to make it a little bit easier to get cannabis delivery in Massachusetts. Because previously there was a rule that required two people in every cannabis delivery vehicle, which is what some people in the industry were saying, well, that's going to prevent us from being able to have delivery because that's two salaries we have to pay now for what? It's a one-person job, and you're making us put two people. And it was, you know, to make sure that nobody was robbing the one person. So now under the new regulation, one person can make deliveries so long as the retail value of the cannabis in the vehicle is less than $5,000. So as long as they have less than $5,000 worth of cannabis in the vehicle, one person can go out and make the deliveries. And that's going to be huge for some of these startup companies that would like to be able to offer that service but don't have the money to pay two people and really pay somebody else to really do nothing. To just kind of be there as a safety net in case something happens. It's like back in the day, when they had the stagecoach drivers that would drive the stage that had the money on it, they would have the driver and they would have the person who rode shotgun. That's where the term riding shotgun comes from, because the second person had a shotgun to ward off anybody that tried to rob the stagecoach. Well, if somebody tried to steal the cannabis, I don't think anybody's shooting anybody, or hopefully they're not, but those days are gone. We don't need somebody to ride shotgun in that situation. So this will hopefully open up delivery for a lot more of these cannabis places, which for those of you who are upset by the fact that people are driving around and smoking weed. And I heard Holly Robichaux in her own way, which I'm sure many of you can probably guess, I don't agree with hardly anything she ever says when she's on Barry's program. And I don't agree with her at all that the passage of psychedelics being used in a controlled environment is going to lead to people driving around on mushrooms. The people who would do that are already driving around on mushrooms. But I do agree with her, and it's probably the only time you'll ever hear me say that I agree with her, that, you know, you do experience a lot of people driving around while smoking cannabis, smoking marijuana. And if that's something that you're concerned about, well, then you should be happy about the fact that people are going to be able to get this delivered to their home so they don't have to leave, go get it, and then be tempted to spark up in the car on the way home. Or smoke it, you know, within minutes of getting it and then getting in the car and driving around. And by the way, for everybody who is right now like yelling at the radio saying, yeah, but I'm a much better driver when I'm high. You're not. You might think you are, but you're not. And I'm not saying that it's making people bad drivers. I'm just saying it doesn't make you a better driver. It makes you slow and annoying to everybody else on the road. Especially when you do the wake and bake. And I'm trying to get to work. And you're in front of me. And you're going 30 miles an hour in a 45. Like, just get out of the way. And it's inevitable. Whenever you get behind one of those cars, the first Dunkin' they see, they're pulling in. So I just think, as long as I can get to, once I get to Dunkin', I'll be in the free and clear. But yeah, I think this will be a big step for a lot of these cannabis retailers. When, you know, this was not the fall of society that many people predicted. But there's still the need to have changes and learn as we go. Not everything was going to be perfect from the launch. You know, New Bedford took longer really than anybody to start having retail cannabis sales with its own moratorium put in place to examine everything. But if you look at that, in the end, it worked. Because have you heard anything about any of the retail cannabis locations in New Bedford? Has there really been any issue? You know, Ascend has been open for quite a while now. Did you even know that there's a Northeast Alternatives that opened in New Bedford? Were you even aware of that if you're not in the cannabis community? That it opened up over on, I guess, technically King's Highway, Church Street. It's right there at the intersection. I'm not sure exactly what it lists as its address. But it's right there across from the Burger King. Smart location. But I don't think anybody's even heard anything about that being open. Because, again, they're not problems. There's no issues with them. Is it perfect? Not at all. But it's also not the decline of Western civilization that many people would have had you thought that it would be. And the same goes for the passage of the psychedelics. It's going to be done in a controlled environment. Yes, it will allow for people to grow a small amount. And I think that that's kind of the hang up for a lot of people. I haven't heard a lot of folks who have been opposed to it being used in a therapeutic value. Even the people who are against it. Even the people who are voting no on it. None of them have really come out and said, I think it's a bad idea to use it for therapeutic value. I think everybody kind of accepts the fact that this works for those that need it. I think the issue is that even the people that know that it works, some of them say, I just don't feel comfortable with the home grow portion of the question, but the home grow portion of what would be allowed. And you can talk about that all you want, but I don't think it's going to make any more people start growing mushrooms than would already be doing it. And I've always said, you know, I'm not a drug user. I'm not a drug fan. I don't like doing it. I've obviously tried marijuana, but I'm not a big fan of it. It doesn't appeal to me. But I've always said, you know, the mushrooms is one thing I would want to try, but I just never have the time to set aside to do it. Would take way too much time off my, and people have said that to me. They're like, well, if you think it's going to take, you know, a long time out of your day, it's going to take even longer than you're planning because you've already got it in your mind. So maybe someday. And I always said I would like go try, you know, ayahuasca somewhere, like go out into the desert in New Mexico or something and look up at the stars, you know, these natural things. Just for the experience of it, but I'm never actually going to do it. I have so many friends that are like, "Oh, I'm definitely going to hold you to that. We're definitely going to do it." Like I'm just saying it, man. I'm never going to actually do it. It's not for me. It's not my thing. But I think for people who it is their thing, we have unnecessary restrictions in place based on archaic laws and unnecessary punishments. I'm not saying everything should be open. But there's certain things that we put those stigmas on that don't need to have them. 508-996. And by the way, I was all for the cannabis portion, you know, the cannabis legalization because of the revenue. And we're seeing those tax dollars come in. So that's what I was like, why aren't we making money off of this? If people are already going to do it, why are we putting money in, you know, the guy that's selling it out of his basement versus putting it into the government where we can put it to use for everybody? 508-996-0500. I'll be back in a few. Once you woke up late in the morning light and the day had just begun, should open up eyes and thoughts, go on to morning. It's not a day for what, it's a day for catching time. Just lying on the beach and having fun. She's going to get you all that she wants. Is another baby. She's gone tomorrow, boy. All that she wants is another baby. Yeah. All that she wants is another baby. She's and welcome back. When I first heard that song, I thought that it maybe Ace of Base was more Portishead than they were ABBA, but I guess they're kind of somewhere in the middle. But I still like them. 508-996-0500. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, my friend.
How's it going?
Hey, Tuesday I found out. So I was at a party Friday night, Halloween party with about 100 people. I found out Tuesday about 9 or 10 people ended up with the flu. Then I found out yesterday, 5 of those 9 are COVID.
Ah.
I got tested myself yesterday and today, and so far I'm good. But I've been noticing the last 3 or 4 weeks, more and more COVID's popping up again.
Yeah, and I think this is going to happen. I think we're going to have more little mini kind of waves of it that happen. But hopefully, you know, it's not nearly as serious as it was at the beginning.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And coming into Tuesday, I'm going to go do the early voting because I'm not sure if my day is going to be Tuesday at work. So, on the questions, I'm doing no on the tips thing, but yes on the other ones. And interesting to see how they all play out. Like the Uber question, the Uber drivers. And I think people are misunderstanding the one about Uber. It's not saying yes or no. It's just giving them the right to organize and unionize if they want to.
Right. They still might decide not to do it because they might say, well, I already make so little from Uber. Why do I want to have to pay some of this into a union as well? But then having the union might get you more from Uber. So.
Exactly. And then down the road, maybe they bring up better benefits for them and better overall wages. So, yeah.
I think the thing that might have people concerned about that question, though, is the fact that Uber and Lyft are both in support of the question. They're both in support of the drivers being able to unionize if they want to. And that has people raising an eyebrow saying, well, wait a minute. Why are you for that? Because you really shouldn't be. But I think what they're looking at is they've got so many people that want to do it, that want to be part of it. And if they've got good people that are doing it, they want to make sure that they can stay. So they're willing to make concessions, those companies, because they're making so much money. It doesn't really matter to them in the long run.
Yeah, and the legal separations of Uber as a corporation plus independent driver status and all that, independent employees. So
yeah, it's
have a good
You as well. Take it easy.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
It's hard to really, you know, unionize anyway when you're all independent contractors. So it's what the pro wrestling world has been dealing with for years, is they've been talking about wanting to unionize forever, and so many of them would say, why would I unionize? Well, because we can fight to get you better pay and better benefits and things like that. And they say, yeah, but as it is right now, I work for myself and I like that. I like being able to have that freedom. And that's the kind of reason why people got involved in Uber and Lyft in the first place. So maybe these corporations are for it because they know that in the end, a majority of the drivers might not want it. You know, their own internal polling and communications with their own drivers, they might say, we would have no desire to do that. The reason why we do this is the freedom to be essentially working for ourselves and not have somebody dictating anything to us. So I listen. It's not a job. It's different than a job. There's and I say that in the sense of, I know you can make a living doing it. It can be all that you do, but I just mean it's not the restrictiveness of a job. If you've got to work 9 to 5 and you've got to be here and you've got to do this, it's a lot more free than that. And that's what appeals to people. And the minute you start talking about unionizing, it starts to feel more like a job and less like a gig. And some drivers might not appreciate that side of it. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I still voted yes on it anyway. We'll be back in just a few moments.